Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm talking about physical attraction versus emotional attraction. Are both of them needed to be in a relationship, or is one just enough? Plus, I answer your sex, dating, and relationship questions. Topics include, so you're emotionally attracted to someone, but physically not so much. Is it possible for those physical attractions to grow over time? The person you're seeing says he doesn't want to be in a relationship, yet he continuously acts like he's your boyfriend. What's the deal? The key distinctions between erotica and pornography. And what to do when your fiancé is into large breasts, but feel like yours aren't fulfilling his sizable likings. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You're going to love our website, chock full of information for you. Plus, find us on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily across the board. All right, guys, enjoy.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
The show. We know that when we get excited about something here in the office and we're talking about it, that we thought this is going to be a great debate. So I actually want to hear from you. We put something, we want to know about physical attraction versus emotional attraction. We got an email from a listener and his name's Mark. And he said, if you just check this out, he's like, you know, I've been listening to your podcast on SiriusXM. And essentially he's with a woman. She checked off all of his boxes. He's like, she's amazing. We went on dates. We enjoyed all of them. The only problem, he says, is I am not physically attracted to her, even though she's drama-free. She's sweet. She's kind. She's independent. And she has a lot of my same interests. I feel like I'm being superficial and not pursuing her because of the lack of attraction. I'm really bothered. She's an awesome person, but I'm not attracted to her. Should I give it a shot and see what happens or move on? And I thought, wow, this is so interesting. How many times have we dated someone who's good on paper? Who's like, oh my God, they're amazing. They've got a great job. And, you know, we come from a similar background and they're kind and they're very thoughtful and they do all these things, but I just don't want to bang them. Do you think that attraction can grow over time? Or do you think when we know? I want to hear from you, 888-947-8277. But we had to take it one step further, right? Producer Jamie, we decided to put it on Twitter. which is also Sex with Emily. We got 680 votes, and 35% said, yeah, you know what, Emily? I'd stay with someone that ticks off all their boxes, even if there wasn't a physical attraction. I'm just going to stay with them. It's okay if we never, I want to have sex. They're probably thinking, sex fades over time. I don't care if I just fantasize about everybody else I see because I don't want to have sex with this person. But 65% said, nope, I need a physical component. Now, it's interesting the way that we worded this because there's something very different between attraction and chemistry and like a physical attraction, because like I've found that there's people that have definitely grown on me over time. Like initially I'm like, no, I'm not really attracted to them. But after a few times of hanging out with them, I'm like, oh yeah, like I am so attracted to them. You know, something, you know, mentally they turn me on, and they're really funny and they have an emotional intelligence. And then to me, I become physically attracted to them. But there are some people that I've also found that are super good looking empirically, and I'm just not attracted to them. So I think that it differs, you know, definitely. But I believe that it will grow over time and definitely give someone a chance. I think a few dates is enough, or a few months maybe. But I think, you know, some people are like, oh no, I like to take it really slow. But I think definitely 3 or 4 dates, you are going to know if I'm going to want to sleep with this person or not, if it's going to grow, you know. I do think people grow. I do think it's different for men. I think that men decide, they say in 20 seconds or less, whether they want to sleep with someone. But I don't know. I do want to hear from you, 888-947-8277. I also think that the thing is, like, chemistry is really elusive. And I think that knowing that chemistry is an important part of it, but yeah, I think it can grow over time. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think it can grow for sure, but because there are certain things that, like, certain aspects of a person will make them more physically attractive to you. Because, like, I've definitely dated people that are not traditionally attractive, but there's aspects of them in their personality that I like. They become cute in your eyes. But I don't think you can, if it's never there, then it's just a friendship. That's right. How I feel.
It is a friendship. But I think that, and people who say, well, sex isn't important because it fades over time. It's true that sex is going to fade, but I still think that you're going to want to be romantically and sexually involved with this person, because then you just become roommates, which we know by a lot of our listeners, that eventually happens. And that's why I have a show, and that's why you're all calling me, because you're like, they're amazing. She's a great mother of my children. We love to do all the same things, but I'm just not physically attracted.
Listen, guys.
Kristen?
I'm in the 35%. Let me phrase it this way. Okay. If you were dating Batman and he had all the gadgets, but he just didn't know how to use them, wouldn't you still date Batman?
Well, you mean like if I taught
which gadgets does he have? Christian Bale.
He's got all the gadgets, but maybe one.
But to me, that one is important. If I don't ever want to sleep with you and cuddle and touch you, I'm not, my pheromones, I'm not just not attracted to you. I think that that's going to matter. Now, if he has the gadgets, but that he's not Batman, but he doesn't know how to use the gadgets.
Yes.
He's not Batman.
Batman
knows how to use the gadgets.
But I feel like you can be attracted to the guy who has it all, but maybe he's just missing that one piece that brings it all together.
But that one piece that brings it all together is the glue.
Oh, but I don't know, guys. Like, it's so hard because attraction does fade. But can't you be attracted to, what if, I have a lot of boxes,
I don't think attraction fades. I think you want to have sex less regularly. I think people piss you off. I think there's resentments. But eventually, the couples that are the healthiest, when they have sex, they're like, oh yeah, this is why we're together. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I know so many people call into this show, and I want to hear from you. What do you think? How important is physical attraction in a relationship? 888-947-8277. Or of course, call me with any question you have at all about sex, dating, love. But I do think like I have friends who've been married for 20 years, and one of my best friends, when she's having a problem with her husband, she's like, I can't stand him. Things are so bad right now. I'm like, can you just have sex? Because we've talked for so many years. I'm like, just have sex with him. And then she'll call me and she'll say, okay, I love him again. Things are great. Because they always have that chemistry. No matter what happens, they have 2 kids. They have a lot of drama. Stuff goes on. But that's what brings them back together again.
I still want to have sex with someone, even if like the physical attraction's not there. I can be attracted to other things that they have to offer.
Well, but
okay,
I'm in the 35%. You guys are in the 65%.
That's okay. That's okay. There's Kristen.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, it, not saying it's like a kink, really, but like you can kind of get off on the other aspects of what someone has. So it's like a physical attraction to their other qualities.
Yeah, like in intelligence.
Well, that is true. Maybe you're sapiosexual, but the thing is, here's the thing. I'm a sapiosexual in the sense of like, I want to be attracted. I would need someone to be intelligent. I want to be attracted to their intelligence. But then when you're a sapiosexual, then, or even a demisexual, if you're attracted to their emotional intelligence, that becomes attractive though. And then I want to have sex with them because of the intelligence. Mm-hmm. It's not like, well, at least they're intelligent and have a great job and all these things going for them. I'm still not attracted to them. But that stuff turns into attraction for me.
Yeah.
But maybe if they know how to use it, you could teach people how to be great lovers to you.
I'm on board with that just because I've been in so many relationships where it was based on physical attraction and it just didn't pan out. And I had a lot of problems and it was dysfunctional. And so I just feel like at this point in my life, I'm putting other boxes above physical attraction.
Okay.
Okay, I get that.
I understand that. I mean, but I feel like...
I guess I've never dated someone that looks good on paper. Yeah. All the people I've dated honestly look fucking terrible on paper.
Really? Like no job?
Well, no, I mean, they have jobs. There's no drive there, though. Like, no that's drive. For me. I don't care what job you have, as long as you have some passion or drive about something in your life.
Right.
You can have a 9-to-5 job that you don't give a shit about necessarily, as long as there's something in your life you have a passion about. But if you're just kind of like, I work at this job and I don't give a shit about it and I don't really care, I have any aspirations for anything else, that's what's not attractive to
me. Right. To you and to some people that might be... right, the job isn't the thing, but there's other factors. But you're right, passion is very attractive. You know, I think passion's attractive and commitment to something. But there are people that I've even thought like, oh, my God, I love this guy. He's my best friend. And I've tried to be attracted to him. And yep. I've tried. I'm like, I'm just going to get drunk. And maybe if I get drunk, I'm going to want to have sex with him. And I even tried with one of my best friends years ago. And he was like, we should try. And then I got drunk. And then I still tried to kiss him. And I couldn't. Like, I couldn't get excited about him.
I feel like everyone in that 35% has decided to be with someone who they're maybe not physically attracted to, but checks all their other boxes. Because why else would those people vote that way?
You guys, I want to hear from 30. I want to hear from everybody. What have you decided about attraction? Did it grow for you over time? Is it a deal breaker? 888-947-8277.
Okay, we have Angela, 45, in Oregon, who said she would be with someone that she doesn't find attractive.
Okay. Hey, Angela. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Emily.
Hey. Okay, so tell me.
For 30 years, well, I've been with my husband for 30 years, but married for 28. And there's times where we get in a rut and I'm like, I'm not really attracted to you anymore. But then we go away for the weekend and then I'm like, oh yeah, now that's why I was attracted to you.
Right.
Because we time together.
But you were initially attracted to him, right, when you married him. So there was an initial attraction. That's different than, like, over time you just can't stand your husband. Because that happens to, I think, most people.
Right.
But
right.
You have that base attraction.
I think, though, that attraction can grow.
Yeah, it can grow. But it's not going to, do you think it can grow, I don't know, like, after a month or two? Like, don't you think that you kind of know after you give someone a shot, a few dates?
Yeah, I think after a month you would know.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I think you can give them the shot.
Always give them a shot. I always go out with someone again if I'm on the fence. I give them like usually three chances. Well, I'm glad, Angela. I hope you guys take more weekends away together. Just get a hotel room for a night.
We do all the time.
Okay, good. I love it. Well, thanks for calling, Angela. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think that is true, though. I think a lot of couples should be, this is just a side note, remember that sex can't heal it. So if you are in a place with your partner where you can't stand them right now, plan that date night like your life depends on it, because it does. Get a hotel room for a night. I can't think of a better way to spice your relationship up. That's actually cheaper than dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get a freaking hotel room there's nothing like a change of scenery to up the attraction. But if the attraction is never...
They're calling the wrong number.
You're supposed to call the stars number, guys.
Oh my God. 888-947-8277. What a rookie move. I think when you know. I'm just worried about Kristen walking down the path of this.
Okay, but okay, question for you, Emily, about this. What if you have amazing imagination skills?
I do.
And you close your eyes and you just imagine a more attractive person
for the rest of my life?
Yeah, well, not?
No, I think because it's not even about the way they look. It's not even like picturing it with someone else. It's like there's this intangible with chemistry and connection and how they feel, when, like how it feels to have their hands on your body, or like how to look at them, or how they smell. Like scent is, your olfactory is a huge factor in attraction and chemistry.
And then you bottle, you found someone you like smell, you found a scientist, you bottled their pheromones, you put it on the other guy, you gave him some gloves that have lotion on it or something.
Yeah, so I sniff it, I sniff this bottle of the other before we have sex. I mean,
too much prep, I wouldn't do
much,
it.
No. I believe that it is sort of this amorphous thing, but you do think eventually you want to be able to get aroused by someone. Because I'm just telling you, if you're, and here's the other thing I want to add to this. Because I hear this all the time. If you're having problems with your sex life right now and you've only been with someone for a few months or even up to a year, and there's problems in the sex life, like people aren't performing, or you feel like there's a mismatched libido thing, desire discrepancy, either decide to work on it today or cut it, because it's only going to go downhill from there. If there is a problem with your sex life right now, don't walk down that aisle. People think, well, once we get married, then I'll be able to open up and be more forthcoming about it. But you got to deal with it right now. Deal with it head on.
I feel like at the end of the day, when you get married to someone, although I would have no clue if this is correct because I'm not fucking married.
Right.
But it's just like a piece of paper and a wedding day. Your relationship mm-hmm. should somewhat still be the same the next day. So why would all of these magical changes happen once you tie the knot?
Very wise, Jamie. It's true. I think that people, because they're excited about the wedding and they were raised that the thrill of the wedding is like the best part. And they just, I think that's what we're told. I think that people are like, wedding changes everything. Once you commit to being together, then I'll work on it. Or I don't have to be my true self till we get married. People say this all the time. People change right after we get married. But these are people, I think, who don't have a lot of practice living an authentic life and being vulnerable. Like, you know, we bring our best selves to a relationship. And mm-hmm. so I think a lot of people just are like excited about the wedding and they're planning for that. And then they're like, we got married and now what? No, I just don't think we're really self-aware. Maybe they don't listen to the show.
Don't you think it would be nice though to marry someone and be in like a tribe lifestyle where your life isn't just dependent on you and you get to share responsibilities with somebody else?
What do you mean? Yeah. I mean, to be with one person?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think that would be great, but I want to have sex with them. I want to have yeah. sex with them.
They'll do their part. You guys are so like,
but they do all the they do all these other things. I think you're gonna miss sex, Kristen.
I will have sex with them. Okay. They don't have to be Tom Cruise or Leonardo DiCaprio. Right. You know, well, they can okay. be Albert Einstein. I'll okay. get down with that.
Okay. 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 So then, really, the thing is, though, I feel like you can't have zero. In your heart of hearts, zero physical attraction to someone
zero.
That you will have sex with. There is some, like, you there's have, no way. Because if you're, mm-hmm. you have 0% physical attraction, the thought of them touching you is grotesque.
It's yeah,
you
it's
didn't
repellent.
Say they were disgusting.
No, they don't have to be disgusting.
Listen, they're not
they
disgusting.
They don't have to be disgusting. They could be the hottest guy in the world, but if you have no actual physical attraction
that's
to them.
That's what I'm talking about. You like, they touch you and you recoil, not because they're gross.
Yes. They touch you and you're just like,
That's happened to me so many times. I'm like, oh, this is done. Or I've even dated someone for a while. And then there's this point where it just flips. And I'm just like, oh, I'm done. I'm not attracted to anymore. And it's not just because their physical appearance changed. It's because something happened in the relationship, who they are, something they did. It changed.
It's like the chemistry doesn't match.
The chemistry doesn't match up.
I get that. Maybe it's more chemistry-ish.
Yeah, but chemistry is so elusive too. But it is.
True.
It's all the things. It's pheromones. It's because that stuff does matter, and it's a lot of things about a person. Do I respect them as a human? Mm-hmm. Do we share the same values? But you could even share the same values with someone and think they're a wonderful person, and still not be attracted to them. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your questions.
We have Debbie, who's 50 in California. She says she's been seeing someone for a year. and he doesn't want to have a committed relationship should she leave.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Emily. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm happy to hear from you. So tell me what's going on. So he doesn't want a committed relationship, but I'm assuming you do?
Correct.
Okay. Now,
okay. So basically, we've been dating for like a year now. And so I've come up to him and I've asked him, you know, what's going on. So basically, he doesn't want to commit, but he wants to act like he's my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of want to know, I'm kind of like, I don't know if I should still be with him or if I should leave.
Well, how does it feel to you? It sounds like you want a committed relationship. So I feel like you're not going to get him to change. If he's telling you he doesn't want to commit, but he wants all the benefits of being committed to you, like being your, like you do things for him and you're there for him, but yet he still wants to sleep with other people. Is that what it sounds to me like?
No, I don't know if he's sleeping with anyone else. I don't think he is because, he normally, talks to me a lot, and we share a lot of things together. But I don't think he's actually cheating on me. I just think that maybe something in his past may have triggered him not to want to commit. So I don't even think it's like a easy, because we've been together for over a year now.
But have you asked him why he doesn't want? Because you're asking for a commitment. Well, essentially, what prompted you to ask for a commitment right now?
Well, because we're acting like boyfriend and girlfriend.
Right.
So
and that would mean that you're... Right. That makes sense. After a year. Absolutely. And then he said to you, what? I don't want to be your committed boyfriend. But like, what does that mean? Like, we need more information here. Because you're saying, you're very loving and understanding. You're saying, Debbie, well, I don't think he cheats because we talk all the time. Well, come on. We all know. We all have our phones on our hands at all times. And just because you're not with him doesn't mean that he's not up to something else. So I feel like you're asking because you'd like that security and that comfort of knowing. And he's saying no to you. So,
correct.
Yeah. So to me, it sounds like you're not getting your needs met. And I would say to you, you're 50 years old. How old is he?
He's 61.
All right. So I would ask him, you know, what he's looking for by not, maybe it's semantics. Maybe it's the words. I used to not love the word boyfriend. I used to tell my guys I was dating, I was like, we can commit, but don't use boyfriend, girlfriend. Like, I just didn't like the terminology. So all I'm saying is like, you need to get more information before I can tell you what to do. But what it sounds like is that for me, if someone doesn't want to commit, it's like they want to keep their options open or they want to date other people. But he's 61. So I don't know. Maybe he's seeing, I think you just got to find out more and it might be tough, Debbie, but I think you got to ask the hard questions. And if you can live with it in the same way it is now, but without the title, then you can stay with them. You get to decide.
Okay. All right.
Just ask for more information and then decide why he, you know, ask him why, what's not interesting to him about committing right now. In a very non-judgmental, non, like, oh my God, why don't you want to commit? Just be like, you know, I was thinking about our conversation the other day and you said you weren't interested in being boyfriend, girlfriend. And I'm just wondering if you could tell me more about that. And then listen, Debbie, listen, because people don't change. He's going to tell you what he wants and tell you why. And then you can call me back if you're, you know, we can discuss it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Emily. You take care.
You too, Debbie. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
All right, we have Matt, 29, in Pennsylvania, who's got a question about porn.
Hey, Matt, thanks for calling. How can I help you?
Evening, Emily. How are you?
Good evening. Good, thanks.
Real quick, I just wanted to say that as the child of a sex educator, I really, really appreciate what you do with your show and your podcast.
Thank you.
So many people, you're very welcome. So many people get instruction with regard to the what my mom called the plumbing, you know, the anatomy, but not so much the whole brain component, the whole cerebral component.
Yeah.
And that's really what matters most.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Yeah. Your mom's a sex educator. Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
She's retired, but the knowledge stays. And I think that's the most important.
Yeah.
Thing.
Amazing. I'm so glad you were raised by someone like that. Okay. So what's going on?
Well, okay. So, an interesting thing happened. I recently, shall we say, inherited a substantial porn archive from a friend.
Okay.
So much so I had to get an external hard drive
Wow.
to accommodate it all.
Okay.
And yes. And I hesitate to use the word porn in this context because it strikes me as more erotic than pornographic. Uh-huh. And I think there's a difference between the two.
There, yeah, I agree.
Okay, good. And I think that's extremely sex positive. I think erotica can be very sex positive, and porn can, it doesn't always, but it can have a lot of baggage associated mm-hmm. with it. And in recent months, I've found myself, like, I have my own place. I don't have to worry about like eavesdropping or a roommate or parents or anything like that. I've just found myself kind of filling the void because I don't have cable.
Okay.
That background noise from the television would produce with porn. Hmm. And in your experience, it hasn't shown any detrimental effects. It's only on my computer. I can't get it on my phone. I can't get it when I'm out in public. I can't get it when I'm at work or anything like that. So it's confined to my place.
Okay.
But in your experience, my question is there a law of not quite diminishing returns, but just, is there a negative side effect that I am more predisposed to because of this in the long term, like diminishing desire, diminishing
interest in sexuality,
anything like that?
There, you know, just like everything, like if you're doing it too much, that's your only outlet, that's your, you know, you're maybe not even going out there and dating as much or trying to meet people, and you're constantly watching the same images over and over again, that I absolutely think that could have an impact on your ability to have real intimacy with someone. But like, also, you seem to have a good, you know, head around you're, the fact that you're even asking that and have a consciousness around it. Is it, have you noticed it since, you know, here's the other thing, you didn't choose this, it was gifted to you, right? Like, you didn't choose to have this. And so I'm wondering, do you actually want it all? Like, is it becoming more of a problem right now? You know, it wasn't like you archived.
I wouldn't call it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, like, it wasn't like you, you know, put together this curated thing and it's like someone like dropped it. It's like when someone gives you furniture, like, oh, I got this couch from my old roommate. I never got rid of it. It's always in the living room. You know what I'm saying? We have things that people give us that we don't actually want or need, but we keep it because of nostalgia, or it's just there and we use it. So, you know, it's a lot of porn, it sounds like, or erotica. Is it so?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't interpret it. That's the thing, Emily. I don't view it as a problem because it helps that I have a background in filmmaking and I know how they make the images on screen appear the way they do.
Right.
It's just that I'm more concerned about potential long-term effects, and if there are any adverse potential long-term effects, how I can nip those in the bud. And to twist things up a little bit, I've dated a number of girls in the past year or so who I've taken back to my place or gone to their place even with this external hard drive, showed it to them, and it's been met with like universal acclaim. So I don't perceive of any negative side effects. It's just that with the way porn and erotica are sort of pathologized in American society, I think I find myself potentially questioning myself unnecessarily. And since you're the resident sex expert, I wanted to know what you thought of that.
I think that, okay, so explain to me, and I think a lot of you who are listening might not really understand the difference between erotica and porn. And so tell me how you classify it. Could you give me an example? Is it at movies? Is it images?
It's primarily movies. There are some images, but like I said, the background stuff that goes on, it's films. And they are, I would categorize them as high production value.
Okay.
Lots of cameras, lots of angles, really good editing, really good lighting, and a really like sex affirmative or sex positive depiction of women.
Okay.
Because the guys pretty much always go down on the women. It seems like the women orgasm more often than not.
Yeah, okay.
That could be acting, who knows? It's anybody's guess. And there are very few extreme close-up inserts.
Okay.
Listen,
Matt, I'm going to say to me that people are watching porn and they're pulling up the McDonald's of porn like Pornhub. And to me, that stuff is not pro-woman. It's made by women for women. So it sounds like you have a consciousness around this. If it becomes the point that you can't leave your house, all you're doing is masturbating, you don't want to meet people anymore, that's when porn becomes a problem. But you sound like you've had this really solid upbringing and that you are watching conscious porn with a conscience. So I'm feeling pretty good about it, Matt. I only think if you start to realize it, it's making you a little bit like, I don't want to go out and I don't want to meet anyone. But otherwise, I think you're good. But you can keep me posted because I'm here every night. But right now, you have my go-ahead. Okay? You have awesome. My, you okay, bye. Thank you have my blessing. Much. Bye, Matt. Thanks for calling. I had to really break it down, you know, but it sounds like, you know, he's had the a good upbringing with the mob, and an erotica can be, it's like, it can be really hot and not feel as dirty and make you feel like you want to take a shower.
We have Dana, 49, in Connecticut. She's engaged to someone who loves large breasts, and she doesn't have any. How can she feel better about herself?
Oh, hey, Dana. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for listening.
Of course, of course. All right, so tell me what's going on.
Okay, so I am engaged to somebody who is definitely a breast man. I actually had breast implants, and I got them removed, but I put smaller ones in there because I actually hate them.
Right.
But he's truly a breast man. I mean, he checks women out all the time, and he doesn't really even play with my breasts. I kind of feel inadequate.
Dana, have you, I hear you.
I see my problem.
Have you talked? Well, yeah. You know, have you talked to him about it? Have you let him know? And what does
he
say?
He's like, I love you. He's like, I love you. It's not a problem, but I do feel like it.
Yeah, well, this is something, if you're going to marry him, I know. But listen, if this is someone that you're going to marry, Dana, and you've already committed and he's asked you to marry him, I have to believe that this is in your head, right? Like, we don't always get everything we desire in a partner. You know, there's a lot of things we're like, oh, but I love this person. Too bad they're not a doctor. My mom wanted me to be married a doctor, or they don't let, you know, their feet aren't that big, whatever it is. But I feel like he's a boob guy, but he's marrying you. So clearly he can't be that too much of a boob guy, you know? So this is truly something for you to work on. And I got to tell you this, I've had men not touch my breasts enough at all. And it's not because they're not even boob guys, but they forget. They like get so into the sex that they jump right over my breasts and they go right to intercourse. And I just know, I'm like, hello, remember my breasts? And then I have to show them, like, not in a very positive way. You know, it really turns me on when you like play with my nipples and you slow down and you say, here's what I like. So I have to remind them gently, you know, several times what I'm into. So I think if you started getting your needs met sexually, and I'm wondering if there's other things you desire that you're not getting, because a lot of us don't know how to ask for it, that if you start there, I think he'll start to realize that he loves you, Dana, the woman, and your breasts as well.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're
I like
so
that.
Welcome. All right,
yeah,
Dana.
Thank you so much.
Perfect. Congratulations on the engagement. Let me know how it goes. Thanks to my amazing listeners. We're heading into our 15th year doing this podcast. So thank you for being open, sharing the show with friends, rating us wherever you listen, because we do release 3 podcasts a week, and that just helps us continue to bring you more great content. And thanks to my awesome team, Ken, Kristen, Lisa, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.